Welcome to Prostate Cancer and You, a podcast produced by the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition, whose mission it is to educate, connect, and support men at risk, newly diagnosed individuals, survivors, and their families. It also connects organizations and professionals who seek to conquer and cure prostate cancer. I'm your host, Jordan Rich. It's a pleasure to welcome Joshua Kraft, head of Kraft Family Philanthropies and board chairman of the National Urban League's Eastern Massachusetts chapter. Josh Kraft previously worked for many years as CEO of the Boys and Girls Club's Boston chapter. He also heads up the New England Patriots Foundation and was also a recent Boston mayoral candidate. Josh went public a few years back about his encounter with prostate cancer, and he thought this would be a wonderful idea to join us on the podcast to remind men that prostate cancer can happen to any one of us. As he knows so well, if detected early enough, it is treatable and can often be cured. Before we get into your experience with prostate cancer, I think it's important to congratulate you on the work you've done in the community and as a philanthropist. I mean, you've walked the walk, talked the talk, and there are playgrounds named after you, I believe. Talk a little bit about where this comes from, your family roots, and why philanthropy and giving back means so much to you, Josh.
Thanks, Jordan. Thanks for allowing me to be on with you. I'm very grateful for that. My late mother and my dad, they always said, your worst day is most people's best day. So you have to make sure that take the time to create access to opportunity for everyone, because that's the only way we'll build equitable society and community. You know, I know for 30 years I worked at Boys and Girls Clubs of Boston, starting knocking on doors in D Street and old colony housing projects to CEO. And I could say I was so fortunate to work with so many great people, people I worked with every day, community leaders, board members, donors, and of course the thousands of families and young people we served, and I learned so much from them.
We're here to talk about your experience with prostate cancer, but everything from serving on the governor's task force on hate crimes to working with the Urban League. I mean, you are really wide-ranging in your interests.
The Urban League, I'm chair of the board. I took a leave when I was running for mayor, and I think I got out of the race on a Thursday, and then that Monday I was up at a board meeting getting re-nominated to be the chair. So it's important being a part of the community. It makes us all better, and I'm just lucky to work with great people in the community, listen to and learn from them.
Well, one thing about you, Josh, you have a ton of energy, and whenever anybody is stopped in their tracks with some kind of illness, then you have to face it and deal with it. And I believe it was 2023 when you talked openly for the first time about prostate cancer. You want to share some of that?
Yeah, so I actually was treated a couple times for it and spoken to some of the docs I worked with. I said, look, if I can be helpful getting the word out. And one thing led to another. Did some interviews similar to this. But I can tell you my story with it is getting my PSA checked every year, as we're all supposed to, I think, after 40. And my PCP, she noticed the PSA wasn't high, but she noticed the changes were high. Mm-hmm. So we went in, sent me to a urologist over at Brigham and Women's, who also worked at Dana and Dana-Farber. He noticed the same thing, so we kept our eye on it. He did a MRI biopsy, which didn't show anything, but he said, let me keep monitoring your PSA every 3 months. And then it kept going up. He said, you know, let's do a biopsy. So that we did the biopsy and came back that I had cancer, Gleason score of 7. So, you know, there were two things. I could just do radiation or have my prostate removed. And it seemed like removal was the most thorough and best way to get this. And it was early enough where we felt confident. So we did that. I had no other treatment, but I did the PSA. I think it was every 3 months. And then after about 14, 15 months, it was going from zero. It started to creep up again. They said, if it gets to 0.2, we'll have to treat you again. So it got to 0.2 and I did radiation, 32 treatments of radiation. Mm-hmm. I might have the number wrong, 28 treatments. But then I also did 6 months of hormone therapy, Lupron injections every month. Then we just stayed on it. And since the end of the Lupron treatment, which was an interesting experience, it's been zero, undetectable. So
very happy to hear that. You talk about keeping a close eye on things with your docs. You know, the active surveillance process is certainly something that a lot of people are doing. The most important thing, though, is getting that first test to understand where you are, a baseline at least. Did you have any symptoms that precluded your PSA test?
No. It's just normal physical check. PSA and the PCP said, you know, your numbers aren't bad, but the increases are a little concerning or a little interesting. So I'm just going to send you to your urologist. So she did what she was supposed to, and, you know, staying on top of it, getting your normal physicals and the tests that go on, because, you know, I used to say, look, prostate cancer, if you get it early, you're going to get rid of it. And that's what we were able to do. And cancer is awful, and there's other forms of it that are really awful and usually can't get those early. So if you can get this cancer, prostate, early, do it. It's just a simple blood test. I don't know if they still do the digital checks.
They do.
Yeah. So I don't have to have those anymore, which, you know, I don't mind. But the digital checks and the blood tests, you know, it's a total of, you're at your normal physical, a total of about a minute and a half to do both. Sure. So like we said, cancer can be awful, and there's so many awful forms that even the ones, some that you get early, it's not good.
Right.
This is one, if you get early, you're going to be fine.
One of the issues, of course, is the community of color and the minority communities that, for various reasons, some of them economic, some of them cultural, don't want to do that. Men particularly don't want to get themselves checked. What message do you have for them?
I think what I just said, Jordan, it's, look, no one likes to go to the doctor no matter what it is, but you just make sure, hey, check my PSA and do the digital check. I mean, it's not comfortable, but both take a total of a minute and a half. You know, one is a blood draw and one is about 10 seconds of checking. Sure. My message to anybody is it's an easy thing to do, and if you get it early, you're going to get rid of it. And prevention is the checking.
About your post-operative and post-treatment phase, whatever your role in life is, you've got to struggle with the idea that, you know, you may be different going forward. How did you deal with the psychological challenges? Because everybody has
them. You mean sexually and incontinence?
Well, just in general. I mean, how did you cope? Did you think you coped pretty well? And did you have any help?
Yeah. You know, they had me for the incontinence. Going into the surgery, they had me doing pelvic floor exercises to keep it. So I used to do them religiously. And you could do them sitting down. So I was CEO of Boys and Girls Club of Boston. I remember sitting at my desk doing things and doing the exercises. And then I know my surgery was done with the Da Vinci robot, which, you know, and the guy, Dr. Trin in Pittsburgh now, he was, you know, great. And, you know, I went, looked at MGH as well, and there's a doc there who does it with a laparoscope, maybe it's called. He had said, look, you're in great hands with Dr. Trent. So
we're very lucky to live in this area, right?
That's why doing these testing, take advantage of it, because you're in a great place, or you're in a place that can really help.
Well, you're speaking about it publicly, got a lot of people to pay attention because you're a public person. And it would be nice if others shared their public story, just because when you do that, you inspire other guys, regular, ordinary Joes and Jacks, to perhaps take the same kind of steps. When it can happen to somebody like you or me, it can happen to anybody.
It happens to anybody, yeah. Keep saying it's one where if you get it early or even you're going to be fine. So just, there's so many other cancers that are tough. And I'm not saying prostate cancer is not tough, but if you get it early, you can get rid of it.
And just a question about your family, because you have, I think, two brothers and, of course, a wonderful dad and so forth. Was there a family history that you discovered anywhere?
Oh, my dad had it.
And he's doing fine.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah. He had it a while ago, a long time ago. Yeah.
And you mentioned your mother. I think we should include her in this conversation, not because of what happened to her physically and so forth. She had an untimely death, I believe. But she was such a mover and shaker in the communities. I say communities because everyone who knew anything about philanthropy knew about Myra.
And she, like I said, she wasn't about telling people. She was about showing people. So when she'd show up at a place, she'd get her hands dirty. You know, they'd roll out the red carpet. She'd go around and just get into the muck and do the real stuff, do the real work. That's what she did and always did.
That's a great lesson for any of us, and it certainly trickled down to the boys and girls of your family going forward, I'm sure, to the next generation, as we know. In terms of where you are today, you're healthy, you're active, sometimes in politics, other times, other times doing the wise thing and staying away. But what does the future hold? Do you have any future plans that are imminent or things that are...
I'm working on a few things, Jordan. Nothing to talk about yet. But look, I love community work. You know, you learn from everybody. I don't care if there's someone struggling with substance use disorder or the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. You ask questions and keep your mouth shut. You'll learn from anyone and everyone. That's something that's important to me. And any work I do moving forward, that'll be it. Make our community stronger and better for everybody.
And I wouldn't be a fan if I didn't bring this up. The New England Patriots, and you're heading up the Patriots Foundation, are having one heck of a surprisingly great season. You must be ecstatic about that.
Yeah, the I hadn't been to a game all year, and I went to the Jets game, and the energy was during the run, you know, it was incredible. People were excited before the game even started. There was a lot of energy in the stands, a lot of happy people. And I'm not a football expert, but it appears that Drake May is more than the real deal. And Coach Vrabel is reason why he was Coach of the Year a few years back. He knows not only the strategy, but I think more just as important, he knows how to relate and create a culture of unity, which is important.
Well, it's very important that you share your story as you do. I appreciate your efforts to do that. And I know a lot of people are very happy that you're doing well and are a symbol of what it takes to get through anything and particularly to get it early.
Thank you, Jordan. And thanks for the opportunity.
We invite you to stay tuned to future podcasts featuring valuable information and resources, the latest in research and treatment, and stories of real people who have challenged prostate cancer and won. To learn more about the Massachusetts Prostate Cancer Coalition and to hear the Prostate Cancer and You podcast, again, go to masspcc.org. That's masspcc.org. You can also listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, and with all Android players. I'm Jordan Rich, wishing you a fabulous day.